you're profiting off the presidency.
Well, you know why I'm profiting? Because the stock market's going up. Everybody's profiting. If you have a 401k, how's your 401k done? It's about up 85%. Thank you, President Trump. So we're all profiting. I'm profiting because I have a lot of money and a lot of cash, and I give it to institutions. I don't know if they know what they're doing or not, but they buy a vast array of things.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 1st, coming to you from Let's talk about some news, and let's start things off with a Wall Street Journal article which claims that U.S. President Trump, he had a meeting with his defense team, his military advisors, Pete Hegseth and Kane. And they were discussing restarting the war with Iran, going over possible options to start things up again. And in the conclusion, according to the Wall Street Journal article, after all of the options were presented to the U.S. president, was that Trump decided to stick with diplomacy, if that's what you want to call what is happening right now. But he's going to stay with the MOU and stay with the talks, continue on the path of the talks that are kind of taking place in Doha, Qatar. And he is not going to go for a military strike against Iran, at least not for the moment. Because if there was a military strike against Iran, if he started things back up again, then Hormuz would close immediately. And the price of oil would go right back up. And the SPR, the petroleum reserves, are still super low. And the U.S. still does not have all of their weapons restocked and replenished, and it would not work out well if he started up the conflict again. And I'm positive that what Trump was asking was to see if Hegseth or Kane could provide a solution to knock out Iran quickly, some sort of a knockout blow. And they probably told him, nope, it's not going to happen. It's going to take time. And that's when Trump said, okay, we're going to have to stay with talks. But the negotiations in Doha, the talks that are taking place in Doha with, well, it was supposed to be with Kushner, Witkoff, and an Iranian a delegation. Trump actually posted on Truth Social yesterday that Iran wants to talk. That's what he said. Iran wants to talk. And it turns out that... What an interesting street. All of the homes. You have a type of icon, a painting icon. Interesting. But Trump was talking about how Iran wants to talk. They want to meet and they want to discuss things. Let's go this way. Even though we're going towards the noise. We'll go like that and turn right. And let's get to the water. Let's get to the promenade of Limassol. What is called the Molos area. That is our destination. So what happened is that Kushner and Witkoff, they showed up in Doha and Iran did not show up in Doha. So Witkoff and Kushner, what ended up happening is that they spoke to Qatari mediators, and Iran officials will be heading to Doha, I believe, today or tomorrow. And they will be talking to Qatar mediators. And that's how the negotiations have started. We don't really have the United States sitting across the table from Iran, and they're talking to one another, trying to work through the various points of the MOU. We now have the mediators relaying things back and forth between the two sides. That is not a good look, a good outcome. But anyway, that is the situation. And staying with the United States and with the Trump administration, we can discuss the big story, which was the Supreme Court decisions. Many decisions from the Supreme Court, but I'm not going to get into all of the decisions. Some of them were in the Trump administration's favor. Others were not. But yesterday we had two big decisions from the Supreme Court. The first decision, which went in Trump's favor, was the ruling on Title IX and men playing in women's sports, or transgender men, I guess, playing in women's sports. I'm not even sure if I'm getting that right. But that was ruled in Trump's favor. And then you had the other big Supreme Court decision, which was the birthright citizenship decision, which went against the Trump administration. And Trump, he put out an executive order. He signed an executive order when he started his second term, abolishing the birthright citizenship. And all kinds of cases were brought against his administration, and so they took it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled against Trump and against this executive order. You can't cancel birthright citizenship through an executive order. So if you are in the United States and you have a baby, that baby is born in the United States while you are there, they are a citizen. Unless you are coming from a foreign service or diplomatic family. That is the one exception to that law. But anyway, that was ruled against the Trump administration. Now, he was not happy about that ruling. And he posted on Truth Social. Well, he took his anger out on China, on Truth Social. And let me find his, one second. Let me find his message here. So after the Supreme Court ruled on against him with birthright citizenship, he posted, "I would like to congratulate President Xi and the great country of China on their massive birthright citizenship win, President Donald J. Trump." That is right. China and Xi were celebrating the decision from the Supreme Court yesterday. Actually, my sources are saying that it was a national holiday in China because of this decision. Oh, boy. Going back to Iran and the United States, the Strait of Hormuz being shared by Oman and Iran, trying to work something out so that they can jointly monitor the Strait of Hormuz. Oman has submitted a proposal to the UN as well as to the United States. And what Oman has recommended is that, and this surprised me, is that Iran and Oman, they jointly monitor and secure the Strait of Hormuz And ships that are passing through Hormuz, they can voluntarily decide to pay some sort of an environmental fee or a service fee to maintain the Strait of Hormuz. That is what Oman is proposing. But the main point to Oman's proposal is that they are saying that that they would be up for jointly securing and monitoring the Hormuz Strait with Iran. Now, the UN, they are looking through this and they are positive towards it. And this was modeled after the Strait of Malacca, how they do things. The United States not happy about this proposal from Oman. They don't like it. Rubio has an interesting street. Rubio has said many times that Hormuz has to go back to the way it was before the war started. It has to be free. Before the war started, it was open and free and no fees and nothing like that. But then the Trump administration, of which Rubio is a part of, they decided to start this this war against Iran. And, well, things have changed, but Rubio wants to go back to the way things were. That is what Rubio is demanding. Iran is saying that they don't like this idea from Oman because they don't like the voluntary part. They like the joint sharing for Hormuz, but they are not happy with the provision in this proposal from Oman, which talks about a voluntary service fee, maintenance, environmental fee. They want it to be mandatory, but I think that Iran is just messing around. They'll accept this proposal from Oman. They'll be fine with it. That's my sense of things. Anyway, I just thought I would mention the Oman proposal. So let's get back to Trump. Let's return to the Trump administration. And Trump disclosed his earnings. And the big story with this disclosure is that Trump made a lot of money on crypto. He's probably one of the only people that is making money on crypto right about now. But he made, according to the disclosure, $1.2 billion in crypto earnings. That was his big money maker for the year. $1.2 billion with a billion dollars. Now, someone on X has broken down these earnings. 900 pages of the Trump financial disclosure report. 900 freaking pages. That's a lot of financial disclosure. A lot of stuff going on. Anyway, Defective on X posted that I analyzed the 900 plus pages of the Trump financial disclosure report. Okay, got that. He extracted $1.1 billion from crypto, divided like this: $635 million Trump meme coin, $236 million WLFI token sales, $196 sale of ownership interest in USD1 stable coin, $65 million sale of part of Trump's stake in World Liberty Financial, $6 million from Melania's Trump NFT sales and collectibles business, and $1.82 million as an Ethereum validator staking rewards. WLFI, the $236 million, is, I would guess, the World Liberty Financial company. So $635 million from the Trump meme coin. Oh, wow. A lot of people lost a lot of money on that Trump meme coin. But obviously, if you got in very, very early, you made a lot of money, as long as you got out, because that meme coin lost something like 95% of its value in its first 24 hours. I think it went up to, I want to say, $75 or $85. And then after Trump was inaugurated, it went back down to like $20. And now I believe it's at $4 or something like that. Anyway, that was Trump's financial disclosure, which a lot of people are talking about, and they're going through the 900 pages. It's a lot of pages. That would make for some good reading, huh? What are you going to read this evening? I'm going to read Trump's financial disclosure. No, thank you. Let's turn to Project Ukraine. And we made it to the Molos Beach area. Not a long walk from Old Town to here. So, Sirski, the commander of the Ukraine Armed Forces, he gave an interview yesterday, and he said two interesting things, in my opinion. The first thing that he said that caught my attention was that Belarus has not dismantled their air defense radars and repeaters and all of that stuff. The Zelensky ultimatum to Belarus to dismantle everything or else we're going to attack you. The 7-day warning and ultimatum from Le Goblin Vert. And now you have the commander of the Ukraine Armed Forces saying that, according to his intel, Belarus has not really dismantled all of this stuff. Le Goblin Vert is not going to be happy with you, Mr. Sirski. Not happy at all, Podolyak. Why is this Sirski guy saying this stuff? It took me hours to come up with that story about Belarus dismantling their radars. Damn it, Sirski, damn it. Anyway, Sirski also claims that Russia is planning to attack Ukraine from the north, Ukraine's north. And they could use Belarus. That's a possibility, according to Sirski, but the goal of the Russian military is to attack Chernigov and Kiev with the possibility of using Belarus, but also not using Belarus. Sirski said it could be either or, but he believes that Russia is planning some sort of a big attack from that direction. So that is Sirski and his interview. We have the Russian military smashing petrol stations in Ukraine. They're hitting stations along the M29 highway from Kharkiv to Dnipropetrovsk. Now Ukraine has somewhere around 6,000 gas stations, and the reports are that Russia has taken out gas stations in this region, in the Kharkov Dnipropetrovsk area, specifically on the M29 highway, making it extremely difficult for the Ukraine military to move fuel to the front lines. And if they are going to now move fuel, they're going to have to really weigh down their vehicles, I guess, with all kinds of fuel to weigh down so they could get it to the front lines, because they're not going to be able to use any of the petrol stations if they are using the petrol stations on that highway. And I guess a vehicle that has all of this fuel is a slower vehicle, making it easier for drones to hit it. Anyway, Russia is targeting petrol stations in this area. And this is causing all kinds of problems and issues for the Ukraine military. We also have the reports claiming that Ukraine is now going to reintroduce rolling blackouts. This is coming from Naftogaz. I believe this is confirmed that Naftogaz is going to reintroduce rolling blackouts, even in Kiev, but in many cities across Ukraine. So while the collective West keeps on talking about Russia's fuel problems and fuel shortages, we actually have rolling blackouts now in Ukraine. And the problem that Ukraine has is that in the past, Europe has always been able to help out with fixing energy infrastructure or getting whatever fuel or whatever Ukraine has needed in the past. Europe has always been able to provide resources to help patch up whatever was damaged or whatever shortages Ukraine was having. But now you have a problem. The EU and Europe can't really help Ukraine out at the moment because they are having their own energy problems because of the heat wave. So they don't really have many resources to provide to Ukraine at the moment, as they are struggling with their own energy problems. Ursula found the solution. Just cut off the AC to the lower floors, to the plebs, to the serfs. Cut off the AC to those guys. Globalist cool kids will keep our AC going. That is how you can conserve energy and protect the grid. Ursula always has a solution. We've got tools. Yes, you do, Ursula. You've definitely got tools. And you do like to direct them at the everyday people, that is for sure. So Ukraine signed a big fighter jet deal with Sweden. Sweden yesterday was playing France in the World Cup. Mexico also went through. Who else went through? Norway went through. A lot of action yesterday from the World Cup. But Sweden signed a fighter jet deal with Le Gobelin Vert. And Ukraine is going to get 16 or 17 Gripen fighter jets in 2027. The older Gripens. And they're then going to get around 150 by 2030, or they're going to start to receive the first batch of a total order of 150 newer Gripens by 2030. So 2027, 16 to 17 older fighter jets, but the older fighter jets are still very dangerous. They can, my understanding is that they can launch long-range missile strikes into Russia. They can be equipped to launch long-range missile strikes into Russia. But come 2030, right in time for the big European-Russian war that the EU cool kids are constantly talking about, right in time for that war, you're going to start to get the first batch of 150 newer Gripens to Le Gobelin Vert, and Ukrainian pilots are already training on the Gripens, or have been training on the older Gripens, and they're now going to train on the newer Gripens. Sweden is all in on Project Ukraine. Sweden is all in on fighting Russia. Finland is all in on fighting Russia. Finland is even ready to host nuclear weapons on their territory. I would not be surprised if Sweden does the same as Finland. But Russia put out an interesting announcement yesterday, and this is official. They are closing the railway links, the crossing of the borders between Russia and Finland, Latvia, and Estonia. I believe not Lithuania. Well, Lithuania. Does Lithuania share a border with Russia? Anyway, my geography is all messed up at the moment. But they closed, well, yeah, if you take it to consider, yeah, Kaliningrad, absolutely. Absolutely. So they closed the railway links between Finland, five border crossings, and then one in Estonia, and I believe one in Latvia. And all of this has been shut down. An official statement from the Kremlin. Many people are asking, what does that mean? The fact that Russia has decided on their part to shut down the crossing. Some people are speculating that this has to do with an eventual attack towards the Baltics. Others are saying that this has to do with conscription, Russian conscription. It's in September. There's all kinds of crazy theories, or not so crazy theories, as to why Russia is closing the railway crossings. And it's just the railway crossings, is my understanding of things. But there was not much activity anyway. There's not much movement anyway. So my thinking is a simple explanation for this, that Russia is just shutting this down. They're making it official because there wasn't much rail or freight or train, nothing. There was nothing crossing from one side to the other. So what I'm thinking is that the Russian government said, okay, just shut it down and for now, and let's be done with it. Either way, Finland in 2023, all the Baltic states and Finland, they're the ones that shut down the crossings first, right? They shut down all kinds of crossings, and of course they shut down all kinds of trade and sanctions. But maybe there's more meaning to this. Maybe there is something more to this. We'll see. It has a lot of people talking. So what is next on the agenda? Should we do an update on the oligarch in Monaco? Oh, on fighter jets. Here's something that's interesting. Ukraine is going to be getting the Gripen, but they're not going to be getting MiGs from Poland. How about that? So you get the Gripens, you do not get the MiGs from Poland. And the reason that Poland is not going to be giving MiGs to Le Gobelin Vert is because Le Gobelin Vert, he promised Poland that he would share his drone technology with Poland. And then Le Gobelin Vert decided not to share Ukraine's drone technology with Poland. And in retaliation, Poland said, okay, you're not going to share your drone technology. Well, we're not going to give you MiG fighter jets that we promised in exchange for your drone technology. I don't know what drone technology Poland expects to get from Ukraine, but anyway, that's an interesting development. Oh man. Come on, guys. What are we doing? Shame on the people that threw their trash there. Shame, shame, shame. Frozen Wave, Third Sculpture Symposium, Municipality of Limassol, 2001. Victor Bonato. Someone tried to put some graffiti on this. Why would you do such a thing? Why? Anyway. Let's move on to the next story, which is an update on the oligarch backpack explosion. And really bad for the oligarch, his family. Yermolayev? Vadim Yermolayev, I think, is this oligarch's name. I talked about it in my video update yesterday. But his partner or his wife had to amputate both her legs. His 13-year-old son is in critical conditions with burns all over his body. And Le Figaro, the French publication, is now saying that the investigators in Monaco, they're not classifying this as a terrorist attack, but as an assassination attempt. And Le Figaro is also saying that everything is pointing to Alensky's SBU, the intel agencies. They're the ones that allegedly, according to Le Figaro's report, that are behind this backpack bomb. So the reports are that they were fighting over the call centers, and these call centers, which scam EU citizens, is just huge business, huge money for the Alensky regime and for the oligarchs and everyone else that is involved in all of this corruption. I mean, it is massive money. There are reports which claim that the EU knows all about this, but they prefer to look the other way. We're talking about 150 call centers, thousands of employees. I've read reports, which obviously I cannot confirm, which claim that the employees of this call center, which is mostly in Dnipropetrovsk, but there are some centers in Odessa, they can make anywhere between $2,000 to $10,000 per month. I don't know how true that is, but that is a ton of money if you're living in Ukraine. And these things are very, very profitable. And they were all fighting for control of these call centers. And the oligarch that had these call centers and then had to give pay tribute to Alensky, because Alensky demands money and tribute, a percentage of the earnings. And he wanted more and more, and the oligarch wasn't happy about this, and they got into a big fight. He then got a Cyprus passport, gave up his Ukrainian passport, and decided it was safer to live in Monaco. And then you have this attack. And there was all kinds of lawsuits between the Ukraine regime and this oligarch, this guy and Alensky. They were suing one another. So the allegation is that eventually the SBU was sent to take him out. That's an update on that backpack explosion. The EU values, are those the EU values that Ursula and Kaya are telling us about when it comes to Project Ukraine? Is this what we can expect going forward? Let's do a clown world and we can wrap up this video. Kaya Kallas was in Turkey, actually stunning and brave, was meeting with Erdogan. And she was talking about how awesome Turkey is. Their military is awesome. Being a partner with Turkey is awesome, but not awesome to the point where Turkey's going to get into the European Union. They're awesome because we need their military. We need their military production, their military force. Got to fight Russia. And we need all of that stuff as the EU, but we don't need them inside of the EU. I believe she actually sat down with Erdogan as well. Erdogan decided to meet the top diplomat, stunning and brave. Of course, Kallas did not bring up Cyprus at all. She didn't want to bring up anything about Cyprus while she was in Turkey because Kaya Kallas couldn't care about Cyprus. She's absorbed, obsessed with defeating Russia. No time for her to discuss an EU member state while she is in Turkey. Anyway, Rutte also in Turkey, and he was interviewed by Turkish media. And when Rutte was asked about the main threat to the alliance, take a guess what Tutti Frutti Rutti said. Take a wild guess. What is the main threat for NATO? You're never going to guess. You're never, ever, ever going to guess in a million years. He said the main threat to NATO is Russia. Russia. Wow. I did not see that one coming. Not at all. He said Russia, the main threat. China is a threat. Iran is a threat. North Korea, he said, is a threat. But they all fall under the umbrella of Russia, according to Rutte. You gotta address Russia. Yes, they're all threats, but it's Russia that is the main threat, according to Rutte. So I think we could do a clown world and wrap up today's video. Yeah, I think I got everything for today. I'm sure that more news will come out by the time I post this video. Clown world number one is that Euroclear is suing the Russian Central Bank in a Brussels court. Yeah, they're taking the Russian Central Bank to court in Brussels over the $200 billion in Russian frozen assets because according to Euroclear, Russia should not have taken Euroclear to court in Moscow, and they won that case in Moscow, and this should not have happened. What the Russian Central Bank should have done, according to Euroclear, is taken Euroclear to court in Brussels. And so now they're suing Russia because Russia decided to sue Euroclear inside of Russia in Moscow. And that was a big no-no. They should have sued Euroclear in Brussels. So now Euroclear is going to sue the Russian Central Bank in Brussels over the $200 billion in frozen assets that they have stolen. Right? They're frozen. Sorry. Frozen. Not stolen. Frozen. The interest they're stealing every single day. They're stealing the interest from the Russian frozen assets, and they use that interest allegedly to fund Project Ukraine, but allegedly they're dipping it to some of the capital, the principal of that of those assets. That is the rumor, that they're dipping into the actual $200 billion and not just the interest to keep Project Ukraine afloat, because Ukraine needs a lot of money going forward. They got the $90 billion. They want $150 billion from NATO, and they're going to need another $30 to $45 billion by 2027. Wow. It's a lot of money that Project Ukraine needs going forward. How much of that $200 billion in Russian frozen assets do you actually think is still around? How much? $50 billion? $70 billion? $100 billion? Euroclear saying all of it's still there. Just the interest is what we're handing over to Le Gobelin Vert. Anyway, that is clown world number one. And I don't think I have any more clown worlds. I thought I had more clown worlds. I guess not. I guess I'm all clown world out. Clown worlded out. No more. Could have sworn I had more. Anyway, let's end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. I'm just checking to see if I missed a clown world. Ah, here we go. I knew I missed one. Yep. From the Financial Times, Ukraine argues it can legally attack Russia's shadow fleet. Ukraine is appealing to the International Maritime Organization to recognize the ships of Russia's shadow fleet as legitimate military targets, according to the Financial Times. So they want to openly strike the Russian shadow. They're already going after the Russian shadow fleets. Didn't Macron say that the Russian shadow fleets are illegal? They go against international law. Isn't that what Macron is always saying? He's always posting on X whenever they seize a Russian shadow fleet. tanker that these ships are illegal. So now Ukraine is saying that they're not illegal, and they want to make them illegal, and they want to make them illegal so that they can then attack the ships. Okay. So that's the second clown world. I don't even know. Is that a clown world? Maybe it's a clown world. Maybe it's not. But I mean, they're already going after the ships. So I don't know how much is going to change if they were to rule that these ships are military targets. Well, I guess a lot could change, actually. A lot of bad stuff would happen if the International Maritime Organization sides with Ukraine. A lot of bad stuff could happen. Anyway, that's the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. We are on Telegram. Go to Duran Shop. Pick up some merch, like what I'm wearing in this video update. Maybe pick up a Duran hat. And like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. Thank you to everyone that is liking, sharing, subscribing, obliterating that hype button. Please check to make sure that you are still subscribed to this channel, because YouTube is removing subscriptions. Don't know why, but they're doing it. At least that's how it looks. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.